white shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So the resurrection of Christ, very important, of course. As our president said this week, something about that resurrection is important, something different about it. The resurrection ratified the covenant between the Father and the Son. It ratified the covenant, which means if Christ had not risen from the dead, then we don't know anything. We don't know if God accepted the blood. We don't know if our sins are forgiven. We don't know if we're going to heaven. We don't know if any of this has any merit or value to it at all. We know nothing unless Christ is risen from the dead, then we know nothing about whether or not the Father accepted the sacrifice, the offering of the Son. So it is absolutely vitally important that Jesus rose from the dead and then was seen of upwards to 500 people so that this could be substantiated and that we would have a testimony of it throughout the ages so that we would know that there is life beyond death. When Jesus took the sins of the whole world upon himself and went into the grave, it's only because of the resurrection that we know that the Father accepted the payment and we have eternal life. Back in Genesis chapter 15, an interesting story, one that we've covered a few years back, but really testifies to this. It's back when Abraham wanted God's assurance. Now, he was just told in Genesis 15:6, he was told that you would be counted, considered, declared, and by heaven itself to be righteous. Abraham, you are righteous. And Abraham would say, well, based upon what, God? Because of my stunning character? Was it because of my loyalty to my wife, who I almost sold out a couple of times to protect myself? Is it because I was impatient and couldn't wait for your promise, and so we had a baby boy named Ishmael who may cause trouble down the road a little bit? Which one of my stunning characteristics is it that you call me righteous, God? What is it that I did that really impressed you with me? And all God could say was, you believed. That was it. Nothing else, you believed. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Which means he's right with God. In God's sight, he's right. You are right in my sight. You're right with God. Why? Because you believed. And all those flaws you mentioned and more were not held against you. They were forgiven, remiss, dismissed because of the blood sacrifice. But so Abraham, after God told him this in the 15 and verse 6, God said, Abraham, you are righteous. And, of course, a man of supposedly, Abraham, the great father of our faith, the man of faith should just accept that as true. Okay, God, you said it. I believe it. That's it. It settles it. Not for Abraham, though. Abraham, the great man of faith, said, well, I need a little assurance on that. Your word to me just wasn't quite enough. It didn't quite cut it. So if you could give me some assurance that what you're telling me is true, then that would help me believe even more. So we can see from right off the bat here, from right on, from the very beginning, the faith of Abraham wasn't all that super. He wasn't a super faith guy. He's just an average guy who believed in God and still had his doubts and still had his apprehensions and still was challenged in his thoughts and in his mind and his heart. He's a regular guy. But he's believing God. God says, you're righteous. And then Abraham says, okay, will you give me some assurance? And so if you read Genesis 15, we don't have time to do that this morning. If you read Genesis 15, you will see that the God instructed him to set up a covenant ritual. The covenant ritual. An ancient covenant ritual that was well known by Abraham and by many of the tribes throughout the region of that day. It was a covenant ritual. And the ritual went like this. You take an animal and you take him and a nice cute little animal and then you chop him to pieces. And you put the parts of the animal on one side. Over here on this side of the church, we have animal parts. You guys are all animal parts this morning. And then over here, we have the other half of the animal, all animal parts over here. And there's a path down the middle. So we have all the animal parts on one side, the other side, and down the middle, there's a very bloody path. And the tradition was that when people got into covenant making, they were like, my tribe is going to have a covenant with your tribe. Maybe it's got to do with trade, or maybe it has to do with whatever. But whatever it is, we're going to enter into a covenant, a boundaries or borders or something, and we're going to go pass through the animal parts, and we're going to make the vows while we're walking down that path between the parts of animals. And the significance of it was that if you failed to keep your end of the covenant, you would end up like this animal, chopped to pieces. And so this was an old ancient custom, and Abraham was well aware of it, and God said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to set this up for me. I want you to put the animal on the ground, and it's going to be a bloody mess, of course, and you put him there, and we're going to enter, you are going to enter into a covenant with me so you can be assured. I'm going to enter into a covenant with you, covenant promises. So Abraham did what he was told. He set the whole ritual up. And just before it was time to pass through, the Bible tells us that God caused a deep sleep to come upon Abraham. It was nap time for Abraham. And God put him to sleep, and there in that restful posture that Abraham has now found himself in, he saw in his vision that down the pathway that he had created passed two things. One was a fiery furnace, very large fiery furnace, and then also a torch, smaller fiery emblem. So we have the very large fiery emblem, and we have the small fiery emblem. Now first the furnace went down, then the torch went down. Abraham is off to the side sleeping. He's off to the side sleeping. He is in a restful posture. And the furnace goes down, then the torch goes down, and these are emblems. These are emblems of the Father and the Son. The Father being the furnace, the Son being the torch, and the Father and the Son enter into a covenant with each other. Abraham is going to be put off to the side. Why? Because Abraham is not going to be required to keep the conditions of the covenant. Because if you put the conditions of the covenant on Abraham's back, Abraham will fail. No doubt about it, Abraham will fail. How do you know? Because Abraham is human. It goes with the word human, failure. He will fail. So instead of putting the burden on Abraham to keep his end of the covenant, the Father and the Son of the Trinity, the Father and the Son will enter into a covenant with each other, and the recipient of it, the beneficiary of it, will be Abraham, who's over on the sidelines resting. And it's a great picture of a believer who simply believes God and then enters into a covenant that was made between the Father and the Son, and he, instead of working to keep his end of the covenant, because Jesus did the work in Matthew 5:17, he fulfilled the whole law. So Jesus kept his end of the covenant. Jesus qualified on his side. The Father qualifies on his side in keeping the promises. Abraham is just living in rest. He's living in faith rest and receiving the benefits of a covenant that the Father and the Son entered into for him. So that's a beautiful picture we have. So Abraham doesn't have to live up. Abraham just has to receive. He needs to rest and receive. That's his part in the covenant. That's pretty close to what we have today in our covenant that we have with God now. We rest and we receive. And we know that the requirements of the covenant, the one who had to live up to the criteria, to the standards, the one that had to measure up was Jesus Christ, and he did beautifully. In fact, in John 8:29, not even one thought went astray. But he always said those things and thought those things that the Father wanted him to think and to speak, and therefore he was perfect in every way and therefore qualified to be the sacrifice, because he had no personal sin of his own. So he was the Lamb without spot, without blemish, and qualified to be the once and for all sacrifice for us of Hebrews 10:10. So therefore he didn't have his own sin. And so when he did die, he took upon your sin and my sin upon himself and paid the penalty for that sin. The Father's justice system demanded penalty for sin. The soul that sins, it'll die. So he demands a penalty for the sin, and then the penalty was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the life that needed to be lived was lived by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the holiness that God requires was produced by Jesus Christ. And the righteousness that God was looking for came from who? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's Abraham doing? And what are you and I doing? We're over here to the side, resting and receiving. Thanking God. Thank you, Lord. It's not me. It's your righteousness, not mine. It's your grace. It's your holiness. It's your love. It's everything. It's all of your characteristics and not me. I could never live up to these requirements you did for me. Now I just live in you and I'm at rest and I'm just receiving. And as I continue to rest and receive, yes, I am being changed. Yes, there is growth and development in my life. Yes, there's things going on inside of me that I couldn't believe possible, but it's a work of God. But I'm not striving at it, and I'm not trying to force discipline on myself to make myself be what I can never be. I'm simply resting and receiving, knowing that the one who keeps the covenant has kept it already for me. And I just received the benefits. And so Abraham rested, and he would receive the benefits of the covenant.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Kraus & Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 19... 19-